What's good? We are back. Triple P, Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast. I'm your host, the one and only Paul Pickett. Today, I'm going to react to Elon Musk exposing the Biden administration. Go figure. Who knew? But before we get into that, let's give you a word from Dizzle.
Me and my team will never be link up. They wanna be drink up. We sit down and relax and have few glasses when there's things to think about. Like I'm nice with the boss when I tend to the bars and I'm not talking drink ups. So tell the bartender that's tending the bar to please pass me a big cup of. And tell the waitress is waiting on us to put a little ice in it. Now watch the ice become weightless like the spaceships that I be sitting in. No waiting, listen, no, they're waiting for that tropical twist that'll tickle your taste buds. Now taste some. Now I insist it's the drizzle.
Cheers. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave tequila, French cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. You could throw your Dizzle on ice, and it's nice. If you want to order your very own bottle of Dizzle premium luxury liqueur, go to DizzleBrand.com. Click on our locations. Click on one of the top three website links. I recommend Emilio's beverage. Must be 21 and over. Shipping and handling is included. Below that is locations in California, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Arkansas. Little Rock, here we come. And shouts out to Little Rock Obama out there helping promote the Dizzle for the Dizzle brand out there in Little Rock, Arkansas. Also, they got the Dizzle brand merch. Go to DizzleBrand.com, click on the store, or go to Etsy.com/shop/DizzleBrand. That's Etsy.com/shop/DizzleBrand. Just uploaded new pics to the store. Just updated it personally myself. So y'all show support. Buy those bottles. Buy those shirts. Dizzle. Here we come. All right, let's get into it. Patrick, Bet, David, and the crew. Reaction to Elon Musk exposing the Biden administration. Who would have knew? Who could have figured? We knew, but now we have the proof. Proof is in the pudding.
Followed the story closely. Have you read all the tweets by Matt Taibbi?
Mm-hmm. I have. I've seen a bunch of what Matt Taibbi has posted in his Substack, right?
Should we just get into that first?
Yes. I feel like we're already in it.
All right. So if you can pull up the tweet thread so we can read it. While you're doing that, I want to read the article from Wall Street Journal. Musk's release of internal emails relating to Twitter's 2020 censorship and news, by any definition, even if the mainstream media dismisses it, there will be many threads to unspool as more is released. By a couple of points are already worth making. The first is that Musk would do the country a favor by releasing the documents out all at once for everyone to inspect. A second point is for Rep. Ro Khanna, the California progressive Democrat who warned Twitter in 2020 about the free speech implications and political backlash of censoring New York Post story about Hunter Biden's laptop. A third point is the confirmation of the central role that former spies played in October 2020 in framing the Hunter Biden story in a way that made it easier for Twitter and Facebook to justify their censorship. Recall that former Democratic intelligence officials James Clapper and John Brennan led the spooks in issuing a public statement suggesting that the laptop may have been hacked and its content was Russian disinformation. Okay, so do you guys know how many days it took?
Of course, they said that.
For CBS to admit that the Hunter Biden story was a real story. Do you guys know the exact date?
Have they done it yet?
They have. Do you know how long it took? 769 days. It took them 769 days to say the story about Hunter Biden is real. It took them a half a second to say Russian collusion was real and it was fake. Okay, so think about why people don't trust all the stuff that's taking place with media. So let's go through this thread together. If you want to zoom in, and folks, if you haven't read it, I'm going to read it. Zoom in a little bit more if you could. There you go. That's
should
perfect.
We explain up front who Matt Taibbi is?
Go ahead. Tell the audience who
Matt Taibbi is. He's a Rolling Stones guy.
A journalist.
You know, Republican.
Not a Republican.
By far.
But let's throw that out there.
Put him in more in the common sense camp. He's not. I think he's more left than he is right.
My favorite camp to be in, the Common Sense Camp. What is this called? The Common Sense Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Paul Pickett Podcast. Let's keep it moving. It's all about common sense, common knowledge, facts, and truth.
He's a legitimate investigative reporter.
Yeah, actual reporter, which
actual reporter.
That word is so
not these fake ones.
He got access through Elon.
Yeah,
to get all this information.
So what Elon is doing, he's going and getting a bunch of these guys to come join the team, which is great. I love what he's doing. Smart. So let's read through it. Okay, so threat the Twitter files. Look how many likes it got, by the way. 373,000 likes, 155,000 retweets. What you're about to read is the first installment in a series based upon thousands of internal documents obtained by sources at Twitter. The Twitter files tell an incredible story from one side of the world's largest and most influential.
Hold up. This dude got 300 something likes off of just saying thread, the Twitter files. Just to one little piece of breaking his tweets down. It's crazy. They all got crazy amount of likes. Let's go.
Platform. It is a Frankenstein human-built mechanism grown out of control of a design of its designer. Twitter, in its conception, was a brilliant tool for enabling mass communication, making a true, real global conversation possible for the first time. In an early conception, Twitter more than lived up to its mission statement, giving people the power to create and share ideas and information instantly without barriers. As time progressed, however, the company was slowly forced to add those barriers. Some of the first tools for controlling speech were designed to combat the likes of spam and financial fraudsters. Makes sense.
Makes sense.
There's no question about that. Slowly over time, Twitter staff and executives began to find more and more users for these tools. Outsiders began petitioning the company to manipulate speech as well. First a little, then more often, then consistently. By 2020, requests from the connected actors to delete tweets were a routine. One executive would write to another, more to review from the Biden team. The reply would come back handled. If you look at that email, there's five
accounts. Hold on right there, Pat. What's the date?
October 24, 2020, a week before election.
Wow.
1 week. Very good point. Number nine, celebrities and unknowns alike could be removed and reviewed at the behest of a political party. Again, this is another one. Click on it. Click on that picture. Oh, you zoomed in a little bit too much. I grabbed the first one under SI. Defer to safety on the high-profile second one, okay? An additional report from DNC.
And one of those is James Woods.
They're replying back to it. Okay, let's go back to the email. Number eight, go to number nine.
And the high-profile second one was James Woods.
James Woods, I saw that.
Go number 10. Both parties had access to these tools. For instance, in 2020, requests from both the Trump White House and the Biden campaign were received and honored. However, the system wasn't balanced. It was based on contacts because Twitter was and is overwhelmingly staffed by people of one political orientation. There were more channels, more ways to complain, open to the left, well Democrats than the right. By the way, people need to know 99% at Twitter donate to the Democratic Party.
It's 99%.
96%. It's at 99%.
You're talking about bias.
The midterms, we broke down.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, each of the big tech Silicon Valley, the way that they sway politically, and it was, you know, all the big actors, right? Facebook, Meta, this, that. Yeah, it was all 90%+.
The resulting slant in content moderation decision is visible in documents you're about to read. However, it's also assessment of multiple current and former high-level executives. Okay, there are more throw cones out there. The Twitter files, part one. How and why Twitter blocked the Hunter Biden laptop story. In October 14, 2020, New York Post published Biden's secret emails and expose based on the contents of Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop. Okay. Twitter took extraordinary steps to suppress the story, removing links and posting warnings that may be unsafe. They even blocked its transmission via direct message, a tool
hitherto
reserved for extreme cases. Child pornography.
That's how you know he's a real journalist. He uses words like hitherto.
Hitherto.
White House spokeswoman Kelly McEnany was locked out of her account for tweeting about the story, prompting a furious letter from Trump campaign after Mike Hahn was seated, at least pretend to care for the next 20 days.
So this is like all she did was tweet and her account. She basically tweeted what was already out there and they blocked her account. This is the thing, like, you can't even retweet no more, and you get it, put out there as being like a villain or a anti-Semitic, like Kyrie Irving. Like, you can't even retweet content no more. You can't even, like, a retweet is a retweet, man.
the way, she wasn't just the White House spokeswoman. She was the press secretary.
That is insane.
Press secretary.
Kellyanne McEnany.
Sorry, Kellyanne.
She knows it's confusing, Pat. Okay. She knows.
Patrick, David, get that name. He butchered her name.
Your poor story. All she did was cite the story in firsthand report it has that has been reported by other outlets and not disputed by the campaign, Biden campaign. I need an answer immediately on when and how she will be unlocked. I also don't appreciate how nobody on his team called me regarding the news that you'll be censoring news articles. Like I said, at least pretend to care for the next 20 days. Okay, let's go to the next
Fair
one.
Request.
On October 14th.
Yeah, so Twitter, okay, there you go. This led the public policy executive Caroline Strom to send out a polite WTF query. Several employees noted that there was tension between the comms policy teams who had little less control over moderation and the safety trust teams. Can you click on and see what that one says?
So safety and trust as a team had more power than communication.
That's insane, Tom. Okay, go back to it. Let's wrap it up. There's only four more.
Interesting.
Folks, I'm reading this, assuming some of you guys maybe haven't read all of them. Number 21, Strom's note returned the answer that the laptop story had been removed for violation of the company's hacked material policy. Okay, keep going down. Although several sources recalled hearing about a general warning from federal law enforcement that summer about possible foreign hacks, there's no evidence that I've seen of any government involvement in the laptop story. In fact, that might have been the problem. The decision was made at the highest level of the company, but without the knowledge of Jack Dorsey. Wow.
Huh.
With former head of legal policy and trust, Vijaya Gadde, playing a key role.
Of course she did. Of course she did.
Skipping Jack Dorsey to even ask the CEO, founder of the company. They just freelanced it, is how one former employee characterized the decision. Hacking was the excuse, but within a few hours, pretty much everyone realized that wasn't going to hold, but no one had the guts to reverse it. And last but not least, you can see the confusion in the following lengthy exchange, which ends up including Gad and former trust and safety chief Yoel Roth, comms official Trenton Kennedy writes, I'm struggling to understand the policy basis for making this unsafe. Can you click on that? Zoom out a little bit. Okay, Trenton, I'm struggling to understand the policy basis for making this unsafe. And I think the best explainability argument for this externally would be we're waiting to understand if this story is the result of hacked materials. We'll face hard questions. Okay, a bunch of people on the bottom. Okay, keep going. Go to the next one if there's any. I think maybe one or two left. 25, 26. By this point, everyone knew this was fucked, said one former employee. But the response was essentially to err on the side of continuing to err. Okay, keep going down.
A lot of errs.
Former VP of Global Comms, Brandon Borman, asks, can we truthfully claim that this is part of the policy? Go a little lower. To which former Deputy General Jim Baker seems to advise staying the non-course because caution is warranted. A fundamental problem with tech companies and counter moderation. Many people in charge of free speech, know care little about speech and have to be told the basics of outsiders. In one humorous exchange on day one, Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna reaches out to Gad to gently suggest she hop on the phone to talk about the backlash re-speech. Khanna was the only Democratic official I could find in the files who expressed concern. Okay, I mean, we can go more and more. You can unstop it at this point. We've gone through all of them. Tom, what are your thoughts when you see something like this?
So this is an organization that doesn't know what free speech is, and basically they had become politicized.
Yes.
That's an objective statement just by reading this.
Yes.
And Khanna was correct. He said, listen, free speech is the ability to peacefully assemble and present your point of view. You know, it used to bother me terribly when I was in college, and I would see, and I think it was in Ohio, these Nazi groups, like a club, you know, more than a club, and their little brown shirts would come out and get together and hold a little bit of a rally and speak. And I just think it's just so wrong to hear that, but it was free speech. So
you would see that with your own eyes? You'd see Nazi?
No. I was watching the coverage. And I would say, wow, I don't like what they're saying. This is really terrible. This is a lot of people feel hurt by this, but it's like, but the price of free speech is free speech. Mm-hmm. They're not armed. They weren't tearing up towns. And I think what has happened here is
I like what he said.
Let's
stop for a second. The price of free speech is free speech. You know, it's like you don't get to pick and choose. It's like I talk about equality. You don't get to pick and choose where there's equality. You either want equality across the board or none at all. Because some equality, just some equality in some places is not equality. That's just you picking and choose things that benefit you only. Like, that's not equality. The same thing with free speech. You don't get to pick and choose what's free speech and what's not free speech. We either have free speech across the board or none of us are allowed to say anything. None of us are allowed to say anything that we want to say whatsoever. There is no in between with free speech. There isn't no, oh, some free speech. You know, this probably will offend some people, but hate speech is free speech. That's why that's his point. The price of free speech is free speech. So what you say, just because you don't like what somebody says or you disagree with their views, that's not free speech no more, then none of us can have free speech. There's no such thing as free speech then. Then we all need to be checked and controlled on what we say, like puppets and robots, you know? And if anything, I know that the people trying to censor the average person or censor people on a daily in any country are the evil people. They are the bad guys. Good guys don't censor. So, yeah, I agree with pretty much everything he just said. I don't think I really got to touch any more of that. I think y'all have seen actual reporting, how it works. You know, you've seen the actual email back and forths, you know. Now the proof is in the pudding. We already knew this. This is nothing we didn't know already. It didn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. It just took a person who really cares about free speech and censorship and exposing the truth. Truth always needs to be exposed as far as I'm concerned. Once again, I thank y'all for tuning in. Paul Pickett Podcast, and I'm out.